Hey, this is Erin. Welcome to the Faith Center Podcast Network. We want to be a source of hope, joy, and encouragement on your way to work, your time at home, or anywhere in between. Be sure to like and subscribe for daily and weekly content. For more info about Faith Center and the podcast network, please visit our website, lg4square.com. That's lg, the number four, square.com. If you'd like to be a part of the conversation, you can email the show at podcast@lg4square.com. Thank you and enjoy the show. Hey, everybody, welcome to the Barnabas Project. I'm Candace, and in the studio with me today is good old Uncle Chong.
Studio manager Chong.
Oh, that's who you are today?
Yeah.
Okay. You're very all about the business today.
Yeah, yeah. You got to get things done. Okay. I got a list of stuff to do.
Efficiency, yeah. Man.
Okay? Let me get through this coffee.
Yeah, I'll
get
back to you. Take a drink of that coffee. I'm also here. Hello there, family.
That's Pastor Cameron. Our special guest today is Mrs. Becca Bump, everyone.
Yes, hello.
Hello, our hey, good friend Becca. Yay, in the studio sharing her story today. Mm-hmm. Becca, I've known you for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah, you were just bragging about it. I knew her first, everyone.
I knew her first. Na, 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 na. You have three sisters.
Yep.
So I used all four of you to babysit my children in any throughout their childhood.
Yes.
All four of them babysat. And you babysat for us a lot, though.
Yes.
Yes, you did. So you were born here in La Grant.
No.
You were born in Idaho. In Idaho. Oh.
Yes.
Where at in Idaho?
Sandpoint.
Did you live there for a while or was it very short?
No, it was just where I was a baby.
Mm.
Yeah.
Any memories there?
No.
So baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was your mom like passing through Idaho and suddenly had to give birth? Is that how
she pulled up the hospital on Yelp and was like, well, they have great care. So I guess we're going here.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us what it was like when you were a kid here. You guys moved here when you were little.
Yeah. When I was seven, mm-hmm. we moved here. So I've been here 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I was a shy kid, as you know, as we talked about already.
Becca was a shy kid. Yes.
Yeah.
What was the source of that shyness, do you think? Just like, didn't want to put yourself out there?
I think it was. I have three older sisters, so mm-hmm. it was like, they mm-hmm. talk for me. I mean,
you were fine.
Yeah. Here I was.
You weren't necessarily the voice of the family then.
No, definitely not.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
You're the youngest of,
yep.
of them?
I am the youngest.
Mm, that tends to happen. Mm-hmm. Little babies.
Was that your experience, Cameron?
A little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I probably worked harder to find my own voice, to make my voice known. But
yeah.
But to some degree, yeah, just being a kid is, there's so much going on around you, mm-hmm. above you, that you, it's easy just to kind of let it happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Due to a technicality, I was the youngest, too.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Almost the oldest. Like,
oh, I mean, I just missed it.
Something you learned about yourself today that you didn't know is that my son gave you chicken pox.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I remember having them in elementary school.
Yeah.
And I remember I was so sad because I couldn't go to school. And I was like, I have a chicken pox.
I know. I sent my kids over to your house, uh-huh. and your sisters were babysitting them. I didn't know they had the chicken pox.
Mm.
And then you got the chicken pox.
Yeah.
So, yeah, sorry. Right, Candace. Lies. This is a web of lies.
This is when people still got the chicken pox.
Yeah.
Like the actual.
Yeah.
Pox,
but,
real thing.
But there were times where people were like, I want to get my kid chicken pox now while they're young.
Mm-hmm. That happened to me.
So they exposed them. So is that what you did, Candace?
Well, like, you're welcome.
You're just out to help the whole school.
Actually, after we found out he did, I called all my friends and I was like, it's play date time, everyone.
Anybody want
the chicken pox?
Oh, man.
When are we going to start doing that with COVID?
When we can invite our older friends around too, and they're safe.
Right. Oh gosh.
Oh my goodness. So, what did you, as a little girl, what mm-hmm. did you love to do? What was your favorite?
I was a ballerina.
You were a ballerina.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So I did a lot of dancing,
mm-hmm.
And singing mm-hmm. was something I always kind of liked, but it was more like my older sisters did it first. So mm-hmm. then I kind of picked up on it.
Mm-hmm.
So just following in their footsteps.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So tell us about when you met Jesus.
Yeah. So I was 7 or 6 maybe. And I just remember my sister Holly, she brought this little whiteboard into my bedroom and her marker, her whiteboard marker. And she was like, "Do you know about Jesus?" And I was like, "I don't know." Like, and she drew this cross and she was like, "You're on this side of the cross and Jesus is on this side." Yes.
Yeah. Get it, Holly.
And, yeah. And for you to get to him, you have to accept him into your heart. I was like, okay. Wow. So she prayed with me and I just remember that really clearly.
Yeah. Tell everybody what Holly does now.
Holly is a teacher.
Yeah. So she was like lining it out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was preparing already.
That's so cute.
Yes.
Good job,
How old
Holly.
Were you, did you say?
Like 7.
7?
I was little.
Do you feel like that was a decision that you made for yourself in that moment to follow Jesus? Or is that where your walk with Jesus started? Or is that when you said yes? Sometimes there's a difference.
Sure. I think that is when I said yes, but I don't think it became like an actual relationship with God until later on in my life.
Mm-hmm. So what was little junior high you like?
Still really shy. I was awkward, I would say. And I didn't really know who I was. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't think any kid knows who they, they are, just trying to figure it out. And I don't really remember middle school because who wants to remember middle school?
Not me. Yeah.
Tucked those way back in my mind.
Go ahead.
I was just really trying to figure out who I was, I think.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
You have served in youth ministry for a long time.
Yeah.
When middle schoolers come in, especially those girls, do you see yourself in them?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Is that part of why you felt called to serve, do you think?
I think so. I think once you've gone through something like that, like middle school, then you can.
Trauma.
Yeah, the trauma. You can just reach back into their lives and say, "This is the mistakes I made. Mm-hmm. Let's help you not make those same mistakes."
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. That's good.
What was high school like for you?
High school was good. I got really good grades. Mm-hmm. Just try to stay out of trouble. Mm-hmm. I was really afraid of getting into trouble. And I think that's where my anxiety stems from.
Mm-hmm.
Just like I never wanted to break the rules.
Mm. Did you have that view of God? That he was kind of like going to zap you at any moment?
I did. Uh-huh. Yeah. I had to follow all the rules and be perfect or else he wasn't going to be happy with me.
Mm-hmm. Is that why you got good grades or were you just passionate about learning?
It just kind of came natural, I think, to me. I didn't have to
really
study.
Smart.
Yeah, I was just like, I'm genius.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah. Just like, here I am doing my thing, but didn't want to get into trouble.
Mm. What did your life with God look like as a high school kid? Were you distant? Were you close?
I did like the youth group thing, went to youth group. When I was younger, I did like Awanas. So it was like always been a part of my life, but never been. Yeah. Yeah. Never been a real relationship then at that point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it was a building time. You were learning and growing, but not real that connection with God.
Right. For sure.
So what'd you do after high school?
I went to college at Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
I was there for 5 years.
Did you go wild?
Kind of. I did the college thing.
As wild as Becca gets, I guess.
Yeah, I was like, at her level. I don't.
It's still a pretty tame wild.
Right. You just don't always know.
Right. Yeah, you know, I was out of my parents' house for the first time. Mm-hmm. So it's like, ooh, I have all this freedom. It's like, oh. Maybe freedom's not the best thing for an 18-year-old to have. But yeah, so did college and I got minor in music and a minor in education, ESOL.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just worked after that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you do any extracurriculars at this time or even back into high school? Did you continue to dance and sing or anything like that?
Yeah, I took voice lessons pretty much until I graduated. So college.
And so that was your minor in music.
Mm-hmm.
What is that? I've always kind of wondered, what does that look like at EOU? What is a minor in music?
Right. I mean, I don't even know if I can tell you that.
You could tell me anything, and I'd be like, yeah, that sounds great.
Sure.
Sounds like you actually have to be a minor in music to get it, Cam. Oh,
yeah, I wouldn't understand.
You wouldn't.
It's like Fight Club.
Yeah. Yes.
What were you hoping to be? What were you wanting to be at that time?
I'd wanted to be a teacher. Just always had kind of had that desire. Even when I was little, I liked to play school with my sister. Mm. I'd make her do stuff so I could teach her.
Like Emily?
Yeah, Emily.
That is the job of a teacher. You just summed up a teacher. Make you do stuff.
Okay. Yeah. And so originally that's what I had wanted to do, get like my teaching license. Mm-hmm. And then I just kind of got burnt out and I was like, I'm just done and I'm just going to get whatever degree I can with what I have. Mm-hmm. So I did. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Were you thinking like music teacher or was just that I want to teach, but I also like music?
Yeah. Not necessarily a music teacher, but I liked music. So I thought, why not? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What was causing you to get burnt out?
I had been in school for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I think even at that age, I was just really unclear about what I really wanted to do, you know? Mm-hmm. So it just, I think having the time after I graduated from college, just to think about, okay, what is it I really want to do? Mm-hmm. And not just going to college to go to college, you know? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I was really sick of homework. I don't know. It's just, like, sometimes it's too much.
No, that's legit. Yes.
That's it. That was the last straw.
Yes. Yeah.
So were you serving in ministry during this time as a college student?
Yes. The last part of my college career, I started doing middle school and high school youth group, FA Center. Mm-hmm.
What drew you to that?
Yeah.
That's a calling. This is a special person.
Such a specific thing.
Sure. So at the time I was dating a guy who was also doing youth ministry. And so he was like, hey, you should come do this. And I was like, oh, okay. I mean, you're here, so I guess I'll come too. I mean, I'm so glad I did because that's how I met my best friend, Kendra.
Yes.
And we wouldn't have been friends otherwise, I don't think.
Actually, you guys have talked, and maybe I shouldn't share this part of your story, but you guys have talked, and your high school overlapped.
Yeah.
But neither one of you really thought you liked the other person.
Right.
Yeah. Which happens sometimes. Guys usually just kind of talk about it. Girls, there's like this unspoken thing that sometimes you just don't talk about it. So if you don't talk, you just assume the other person doesn't like you. Right. And I think that's what
Is this real?
Yeah, that's the thing that happens.
You run in certain packs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes your packs don't overlap. Yeah. And you think that person probably doesn't want to hang out with me.
Yeah. Just because the packs don't overlap, they don't like me. Mm-hmm. And therefore, I don't like them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This sounds really complicated.
It is.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Cool.
But you guys did overlap in high school and now you guys are great friends.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Super fun.
What do you love about Kendra?
Kendra's the best. I don't know. She is hilarious. Mm-hmm. And she just knows how to be herself in a way that I want to know how to be myself too.
Oh, I love that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shout out to Kendra. Love you, Kendra.
Love you, Kendra.
Love you, Kenny.
So good. So what was going on in your life during this season?
Yeah. So let's see. A lot.
A lot.
So this guy I was dating while I was doing youth ministry, and I think I was 23 or 24. We dated on and off for a while, and we ended up getting engaged. Mm-hmm. And I think for me, I thought, well, this is the right thing to do because I've been with him and we've made it work. Mm. That I guess this is just the next step. Like, this is just what we do now.
Mm-hmm. But inside, were you having some reservations or were you all in?
I was trying to be all in, but I think deep down I knew, hey, I don't think this is right. Mm. But
that's a big, it's scary.
It is scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I had already said yes. So I was like, well, I think this is God's plan for me. So I'm saying yes, I'm going through with it. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've already said yes. I've made the commitment, you know?
Yeah. And you guys, there were ups and downs and you'd overcome a lot. So it's easy to just be like, well, I'm just going to overcome this fear inside of me too. And sometimes we are called to overcome that fear. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that fear is a red flag.
Sure. Like a legit thing.
you had some people in your life that were very loving, mm-hmm. but were speaking some wisdom and guidance in this season too. And your dad had some great insight that said, I think you guys should wait on your engagement. Mm-hmm. And it was a longer engagement. And,
yes.
And I think there was some great wisdom. Shout out to your dad.
For sure. Saying,
hey, old Bob.
Yeah.
Good old Bob.
Good old Bob.
I'm sure he listens. He's probably listens to every episode.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He's listening. I'm
he
sure.
knows. Yeah. Yeah. So he told us, wait a year, be engaged for a year, and then get married. Mm-hmm. And so we were waiting. And in that, the meantime, he was looking for pastor jobs. He wanted to be a pastor. And an opportunity came up in California at a church down there to be a youth pastor. Mm-hmm. And so they contacted him to like say, hey, you know, come down, interview, I guess, for the position, uh-huh. like show us what you got. I don't know.
it is a weird process.
I don't know.
Yeah. It's unlike any other job. Yes.
Sometimes interview. It's called candidating, which is kind of weird.
That's odd too.
Yeah. Yeah.
We do weird things sometimes in the church.
That's okay. And so, and they were like, we want Becca to come down too, because she's going to be, you know, your wife. We want her to be involved. So I went, did our thing down there, came back, and they said, hey, we want you to come down again. And we just really want to decide if this is right for you. So we went down again and they offered him the job.
What were you processing?
I loved the people in California mm-hmm. at this church. Mm-hmm. They were just really amazing. Mm-hmm. And I could see myself being there mm-hmm. with them. So, I mean, I was nervous because, you know, it's moving out of a place I've lived my whole life. Mm-hmm. But I thought, you know, it's going to be okay. Like, if it's God's will, like, mm-hmm. this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
And I'm just going to have to do it. Mm.
Do you see yourself as like a California girl?
No. Oh my gosh, no. Definitely not.
I see myself as a California girl sometimes. Yeah. I just want to go to the beach and chill. Mm-hmm. Right, Sean?
You said it, not me.
So he ended up moving down there mm-hmm. and I was still here and we had our wedding planned and everything and mm-hmm. we were getting close and he showed up at my house one day just out of the blue and I was like, oh my gosh, you're here. Like, this is great.
Because he was down there.
He was down in California and I was still here. And he was like trying to find a place for us to live and mm-hmm. just, you know, figuring it out down there. And he told me he didn't want to marry me anymore. Sorry. And I said, well, you know, what changed? And he's like, well, he told me lies, things you should never tell a person mm-hmm. About themselves mm-hmm. as an excuse to... Mm. End our relationship. And I said, okay, you know, whatever, mm-hmm. get out of my house. Mm-hmm. And so that was the end of that.
How did you deal with that emotionally? What was the first thing you did when he left?
So my parents were there when he came and he told them what he was going to do. Mm-hmm. And so they left. And the first thing I did is I called them. Mm-hmm. I called my dad. Sorry. Mm-hmm. And they came home and we all just kind of cried together, you know? Mm-hmm. And they knew he wasn't the right guy for me, you know, mm-hmm. but they were respecting my decision. Mm-hmm. But I think they were so relieved. Mm-hmm. Like, even though it was so painful, it was the right thing. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I was a mess.
Yeah.
I was a mess. But I think it brought me closer to my family. Mm-hmm. They really like rallied around me, you know?
Yeah, they did.
Yeah. So that was a good feeling. And I remember one day I was just like laying in my bed, like a disaster. And I just thought, this can either destroy me or it can strengthen me. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm not going to let this destroy me. Oh, like, this is not the end.
That's huge.
That's amazing.
So I don't know.
How far mm-hmm. into that was that moment?
A couple months. It mm-hmm. took a while.
Yeah.
I don't know. In that situation, it's so hard because nothing anyone says is ever going to make it better. Mm-hmm. You know, even though they try really hard.
Yeah.
And so it was just something I had to, walk through. Make that decision for myself, you know?
Yeah.
And I think that's the point my relationship with God started to grow.
Mm. How did God show up for you in that time?
I think before all of this, I thought I needed a man to complete my life, you know, to be there for me. And I think he just showed up in this process and was like, you don't need anything other than me. Wow. Like nothing is ever going to fill that spot except, you know, Jesus and his love. And I was like, okay, okay. Which was,
prove it, Jesus. Right? Like,
okay. Yeah.
Then you better show up.
Yes.
Because I'm not okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes. And it was just, it wasn't a healing process that happened all at once. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It took a long time. But then one day I was just like, I'm okay again.
Wow.
You know? Mm. Yeah.
What kind of things were you doing during your healing process that was helpful?
I think I was just really pressing in more. I was praying a lot more than I think I ever have in my life and just really digging in deep to God's promises. And I had to hang on to, you know, like he has good things for me and this wasn't good, but it was going to be good eventually. Mm-hmm. It was going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something I had to just keep telling myself, like, this isn't good now, but one day it's going to be.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's grieving.
Yeah.
It was layers of grieving. Grieving what you had already started to dream about.
Yeah.
Mm. What was dreaming the loss of somebody you thought you knew.
Right.
Which might have included yourself a little bit. Like I thought I knew who I was, but so much of who I was invested in somebody that I don't know now.
Right. Mm.
So there's a lot of grieving. Mm-hmm. And I think if your listeners, you maybe didn't go through the same journey that, that Becca did. And I haven't gone through that same journey, but we all have these moments where we really have to decide. We will face great loss. None of us are going to get through life unaffected, and we will all face loss. And that moment where you decided before you even felt it, you decided that I'm going to get better in this. Mm-hmm. That's a powerful moment that in grief we all will face at some point.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I remember a really dear friend told me, like, God will take those broken pieces that you're left with and he's going to heal you. He's going to put you back together, but not in the way you were before. Mm. Like he will put you back together in who you've always meant to be, like who he's called you to be.
Yeah. It's good.
Yeah.
Becca, tell us about when you first started worshiping again after this happened.
Yeah. I remember at summer camp, a couple months after this happened, we were worshiping, and always like at summer camp, the worship is incredible. If you know, like it's something you just have to experience. And this song was really popular at the time, and it was,
sing it.
I don't remember what it's called even. It's like the No Shadow You Won't Light Up, whatever that song is called. I don't remember.
Reckless Love.
Thank you. Yes. Yeah. Reckless Love.
That's the one.
And that was a song that this guy liked to lead when we would lead worship together at youth group. And I was just like, really, this is the song we're going to sing a million times at camp. Like, there's no way, like I'm not doing this. And then, I don't know, Amber and Kendra were there with me, like they always are. Shout out to Amber too. Amber, I love you. They said something to me like, you know, I know this song reminds you of him, but it's not about him.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's good.
Yeah, it was good. And so I think just from that point, I was really just able to let go again, you know, and worship God just the way he created me to worship him.
Mm. Yeah.
I remember in that season, there was a time where you kind of stepped back from the worship team. And and then there was a day where you said, I'm ready to get back on the worship team. And I remember getting really excited about that. And I remember you coming in and we had a song for you to sing. And I did not think about how important these lyrics were at the time. It literally did not occur to me. Mm-hmm. But you sang, I Am Not Alone.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, sort of thinking that was just a good song for you to sing because it's in that right pocket, right?
Sure.
And I was thinking like tonality, you know.
Right.
And I'll never forget when you sang that song, I looked out at the congregation and like everybody was like, transfixed, and they knew that this was a special moment and these lyrics meant something so much more to you at that moment. And I'll never forget seeing your family sitting there just sobbing.
When I saw that happen,
I was sobbing too. Yeah. Like everybody, like it dawned on everybody what those lyrics meant to you. And that was a really special moment.
I don't think I'd ever been more proud of you.
Yeah.
I remember sitting there and Emily was sitting kind of behind me and, I grabbed her hand and God in you in that moment was stunning. It is burned into my memory. Mm-hmm. I will never forget it. Mm-mm. Sorry. I was incredibly proud of you and so thankful to God for the work that he had done in you. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because I did not want this to crush you or to define you. And it hadn't. Mm-hmm. It had crushed you for sure. Oh, yeah. But it wasn't, you were up there.
Yeah.
And you were triumphant and you were declaring things in the spirit and just watching you worship was the fulfillment of a lot of things that he had already sung over you about who you are. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing moment.
There was a handful of decisions. The decision to say, I'm ready to come on the worship team, decision to go to camp that you just kept making that I was honestly like, I don't know if I could do that. I don't know if I could make that decision. Mm-hmm. But she is leaning in. And because of that, I knew this is going to be good.
Yeah.
Like the fruit that will come from a season that is hard, but you choose to lean in is going to be good. And I don't know many people as strong as you. And I don't think you know that about yourself, maybe. Mm-hmm. I hope you do. But I don't know many people as strong as you. Because to make the decisions, to lean in. Mm-hmm. If there was anybody that I am just like, yeah, if they don't show up to church ever again, I get it.
Right.
because that relationship that you had was very tied to this place. Mm-hmm. And serving was very tied to that, at least the origin.
Right.
But what God did in you was so much more than just another person. Mm-hmm. It was what he was doing in you, and what he was doing in you was not yet finished yet.
Right.
And you stepped up to the plate. And I was wowed every time. Mm. I mean, there are even youth group meetings where it's just like, I didn't say it because I didn't always know what I should say.
Sure.
But just seeing you show up, I was like, oh man, it's going to be a good night. Because if you're showing up in this and willing to serve in this, oh, it's going to be a good night.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember at summer camp that time, I was just like, God, I just need to know that you actually love me for this.
Yeah.
And I was like, I just need a sign. Like, I just need something. And it was after David and Sunshine had left our church. And you know, who I was engaged to was really tied to that family. And so they were like almost my in-laws basically.
Yeah.
And so I was just there and we were just worshiping and God was like, look over. And I looked over and David Eddy was standing in the back and he was like, I love you. Like, this is my sign that I love you. Like, here's this man who, you know, was almost like a father to you. Like, and so it was just kind of like, okay, like, I guess that's I can keep going.
So good.
Yeah.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There was a lot of moments at that camp that wrecked me. Some camps you're just like, Jesus, get me through this. These kids are driving me crazy. Yeah. But this one was like, we're all going through stuff.
Right.
Like, and you could see it. You could see it because it was a rallying point. And not just that you were like, everybody was purely focused on you, but it was like, we're going through stuff and we want to see victory and we want to see it in our students. Absolutely. But we also need some victory
now.
And it was a fun year. That was a really powerful year.
It was. Yeah.
Yeah. I got to go to camp with you one year.
Yeah.
And that was kind of fun. It was cause you became a pastor.
Yeah.
And, there was like an open seat and I was like, I'm not going to do it. And then you said, you should pray about doing it.
Yeah, I did that.
And I went and actually, I tell you what, I actually had a really amazing time on that trip. And yeah. It was really fun to watch you lead those girls because they just looked up to you so much. Mm-hmm. And it was hilarious to see them kind of interact with you because you were like the mom figure and they were always just like in submission to you because they did not want to let you down. And it was really fun for me to watch because I think I was actually one of the junior hires on that trip. Mm-hmm. And, I think Becca had
to tell you what to do a lot too.
She did. Yeah. I remember being with those kids and just, man, it was just a really powerful thing. And I watched lives change throughout that first couple of days. Yeah. And then we had a week to set it in stone for them kids. It was really fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's fun.
So life continued as it does, unrelenting sometimes, but it continued and you continued to grow. What were some things that were helping you, like, not just survive a hard season, but now I am growing, I am thriving, I am pushing forward, turning the page, something.
Yeah. I think really my family and my friends being there for me and just kind of like cheering me on was really important for me. Mm-hmm. And even, I don't know, it's hard because when you go through something like that, sometimes people forget after a while that happened to you.
Yeah.
And they don't understand it's still something you deal with, like on a daily basis, you know?
Yes.
So it was important to me that those people were still checking up on me. Like, hey, are you good? You know? Mm-hmm. And I mean, worship has always been just a big part of my life. So being able to just express how I was feeling to God through song, you know, was just a really healing thing for me. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we kind of already talked about it a little bit, but your worship changed.
Yeah.
It visibly, audibly changed. And some of that shyness that you talked about earlier, I saw a different confidence and a different joy in worship in you. And I think that was super healing for you. And I could see a new version of you emerging from that as you worshiped, especially.
Yeah, for sure. I think that was the time I really just started. I had to press into God because I wasn't going to get through it any other way. And so just like I was journaling, I was, you know, just in my Bible. And it was just like what I said before, I had to rely on those promises. Mm. Yeah.
And then what happened, Becca?
Ooh, and then.
Let's get to the good part.
Sure.
Okay.
Well, so I had told God, I was like, okay, I'm never getting married now because this happened. Like, never am I going to go through this again. And then I met Brian Bump. And I met him because he was over at my house because he works with my sister. Mm-hmm. And so they were having a game night. And I got home from, I think, youth group or something. And they were like, Becca, come play with us. And I was still, this was like maybe a month or 2 months after this had happened. And I was like,
fresh. No,
it was, yeah. I was like, I really don't want to.
There's a boy in there and I'm out.
No, I will not. But I was like, okay, I guess. And, Brian and I had gone, we had gone to school together, but I didn't know him really.
Mm-hmm. You weren't running in the same pack.
We weren't in the same pack. No. And so we just kind of started talking, just kind of clicked. I was like, this guy could be a really good friend to me. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, there's something when you meet someone who you just like know is going to be a special part of your life. Mm. It's just like, I don't know, when you know, I guess, sort of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He became my best friend just in a really short period of time. Mm. And people were like, well, is it going to go anywhere? Like, are you guys going to? And I was like, no, we're just friends. Like,
simmer down, everyone.
Pressuring me. And I don't know. One day we just knew, like, this is no longer friendship. Like, this is, there's something really special between us. And
the Disney music played.
Yes. La, la, la. Yeah. And so that our relationship started changing. And that was like, I mean, I still had to walk through really hard things myself, you know, healing. Mm-hmm. So that wasn't, it was like maybe 6 months later. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, we started dating and I started having the worst anxiety I've ever had in my life.
Like panic attack.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it was to the point, it was a constant feeling I was having every day, you know, and just, I think the enemy, he picks up on those things and he runs with them.
Yeah.
so it was just a constant, like, you can't trust God because you know what happened before. Mm-hmm. So how can you trust him now mm-hmm. that this relationship isn't going to end up the same way? Or this guy isn't going to break your heart, you know?
Mm-hmm. So again, kind of the same idea about how you had a view of God in high school, even.
Yeah.
Or was like at any moment, zap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there were a lot of, I got a lot of counsel at that point. Mm-hmm. I really, like, I went to Cameron and I was like, here's what's happening. Mm-hmm. Help. Mm-hmm. Like.
Before you came to me, I heard about this friend of yours.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know. I didn't know him. Our yeah. circles didn't, I didn't know him.
Yeah.
But then I did find out that my wife knew him a little bit. So I was like, okay, tell me
what's
up.
Right.
And she was like, I think he's a good guy. And I was like, okay. Okay,
yeah,
he better be. Oh my goodness, he better be.
Her, yeah.
And then we had an opportunity to connect and,
mm-hmm.
and yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I went to Cam, I went to Camille, mm-hmm. And I was like, I need help. But like, I don't want to be blinded like I was in this other relationship where I couldn't see. I mean, I could kind of see the red flags.
Mm-hmm.
But didn't feel empowered to voice them.
Right.
Yeah.
And right. it is hard to reckon, like, every relationship's going to have stuff. Mm-hmm. So, and how do you know? So yeah. going to counsel, whether that's just godly counsel or counseling
yeah.
is highly, highly recommended
yes.
to know red flags and deal breakers versus just normal bumps.
Yeah. You yeah. don't know what you don't know.
Normal right. bumps. Get it?
Sometimes you just need that person to come alongside you, put your arm around and go, let me help you define what you're seeing.
Yes.
And then we can move forward together in it. You're not by yourself in it.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think my problem is I really live in my head.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was replaying the same stuff over and over in my mind and it was getting sure. like more irrational, like every day. Mm-hmm. And so it was really important for me to talk to people and be mm-hmm. like, mm-hmm. I like him, but I don't want this to happen again. So I need some help.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got into this. I was praying about it all the time. Like, God, if this is your will, okay, that's great. But if not, just make him go away because I don't want to deal with this again.
Were you praying for a hit on him? If this isn't, take him out.
And it got to the point where I was having such a hard time, like, distinguishing God from my own fears, from maybe whatever the enemy was trying to tell me about mm-hmm. the situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was really a rough time in my life, mm-hmm. a rough year.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was so honored that you came to talk to me about it because I know that about you, mm-hmm. that like, you live in your head, and I can do that too. And I know we get trapped there.
Yeah.
So to voice it,
mm-hmm.
to bring it to somebody else is a big deal.
Right.
Because it's a lot easier just to let it run rampant in your head. So when you brought it to me and we were able to talk and pray at mm-hmm. a few different points and a few different moments, but then also to know that you were going to other yeah. people that were bringing you counsel that weren't just saying like, yeah, go for it. It's going to be great. Or right. they weren't saying like, run, it's going to be terrible, that you were really seeking some outside wisdom. And that was really bizarre to me in a way to be like, so confident that no, this is good. Uh-huh. This is okay. And because that protectiveness of a lot of people around you to have that the Holy Spirit speaking to so many people saying, this is good, Becca,
right.
this is good. And that was an important thing.
Mm. Yeah, it was important.
How are you processing this with Brian?
So I told him what I was feeling. I was like, I have a lot of anxiety and it's not going away. And I'm just going to tell you how I'm feeling right now. And he's like, that's okay. Like,
were you literally like, I don't trust you. It's not you. It's me.
Yeah. Basically, yeah. But the hard thing was, it really was me just, you know, getting to myself. Like, I don't know, but he was just so understanding about it. Which was also another good mm-hmm. sign, yeah. I thought, yeah. like
relief.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He just really accepted me where I was at.
Mm,
and yeah. it wasn't like he was trying to make me better or fix me. He was like, it's okay. Like, it's going to take some time.
That's you know? Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What a gift.
So, yeah, I mean, for a good year. I had a lot of anxiety about it.
How long did you date before you got engaged?
A year.
A year.
Yeah. He proposed on our 1 year dating anniversary.
Mm. Where was your first date?
We went to the corn maze in Echo.
Beautiful. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I told him, I was like, I want to go to a corn maze. Like, I've never been to one.
Yeah.
And so that's where he planned our first date.
Which we went to later
as
a youth group.
Yeah.
And he joined us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the haunted corn maze
fun.
Hepner? Not Hepner.
Okay. It was Echo.
Echo. Sorry. Mm-hmm. Echo.
Yeah.
I forget my little Eastern Oregon towns. They all blend together. But yeah, that was really fun. He came with us and it was a blast.
It was fun.
We sang Disney music the whole way.
It's great.
Super fun.
Yeah. I remember meeting him and we were at your apartment or something and hanging out with you guys. And I remember getting back in my car and I looked over at my wife and I was like, oh, I like him.
Cute.
Yeah. Yeah. It was my wife is a pretty good judge of character.
Mm-hmm.
So to meet him and be like, oh, he is a good guy.
Right.
I was like, all right, I needed that as not more than you did. but yeah, we're big fans of Brian.
What do you like about Brian?
Everything.
Everything. Yes. No, Brian is the best. I think, I don't know. He showed me what love really is.
Yeah.
What it really means to love somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. He drew me so far outside my comfort zone, like little by little. Like he took me on hikes. He made me go in caves with him. Like all these things. And that just made me grow in who I was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's what I've noticed.
Uh-huh.
I've watched you, your life.
Really? Yes.
Way back from the chicken
Way
pox
Way back
days.
From the chicken pox. And what I found was I just saw you blooming into who you actually are.
Right.
In relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been awesome to watch.
Yeah.
So exciting.
Yeah. So I think through the process of just dating him, then to being engaged, I really had to trust God. And I think that's really where my relationship with God started to grow mm-hmm. into something more.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard.
Mm.
It was really hard. Just hard to trust that what God said he would do, he was going to do.
Mm.
Yeah.
And that I could trust that what he said was, you know, true.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It was a hard process.
So was that as you approached your wedding day?
Mm-hmm.
And you are mixed, you have all these feelings, all these emotions about it.
Yeah.
So much joy and excitement, but also this fear, this real fear. Was the fear growing as you got to that wedding day or was it dissipating as you got to that wedding day?
It would depend on the day.
Mm-hmm.
It was a day by day thing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. God had given me so many like clear, like, yes, this is it. Like, just keep walking in it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I just had to keep trusting that it was going to happen. I don't know. It was harder as the days got closer because I was like, well, this is the same time that my relationship ended before.
Mm.
So that was hard. Yeah.
So you had, when was your wedding day?
May 16th.
May 16th mm-hmm. of 2020.
Yeah. Aww.
So there was a few other things that happened in the buildup to your wedding.
Yeah.
How was that navigating? First of all, you have your own struggle,
mm-hmm.
and that isn't to minimize it by any means, but you had your own struggle, and then there was also a global pandemic happening.
Right.
What was that like to be trying to plan a wedding and see some things not go according to plan?
Yeah, it was hard. I was like, God, does this mean you don't want me to marry him? Like, is this? Mm-hmm. And it was just, I don't know. Like I said, I live up in my mind a lot. So just thinking about all the things, and then Kendra texted me one day out of the blue and she was like, I know there's a crisis going on. She's like, but this does not mean that you're not supposed to marry Brian. I was like, thank
Good
you,
job,
Kendra.
Kendra.
Again, Kendra.
She always knows what to say, doesn't she?
She always knows, yeah.
And then a little cat emoji.
Yeah.
With the heart eyes.
Guaranteed.
I think we all went through our first bridal shower on Zoom.
Yeah.
With you.
That was fun.
I know.
So I was in that one briefly.
I
popped in.
Yeah.
Couldn't contain myself.
Yeah.
Too excited.
Yeah.
What was that?
Just
what
the
was
California
that like
girl in
for
me.
You.
You just couldn't stay out of it, could
oh,
you?
Good Lord.
Oh, that was really fun. I was nervous about it. I was like, there's all these people and I'm the center of attention and I hate that so much. Like, but I mean, my mom and my sisters made it so fun, and Kendra and Amber, and it just was so much better than anything mm-hmm. I could have ever hoped for. Mm-hmm. Like, even better than an in-person one, mm-hmm. I thought. And that's how I felt about my wedding too. Yes. I mean, that was hard because we had already sent out, you know, our save the dates, and mm-hmm. then we were about to send out our invitations, and then they were like, oh, you can't have groups of more than 25. And we were like, well, what do we do now? And it was that point, like, well, we could either keep it or we can postpone it. And I was like, I will die if we postpone it. Like, my anxiety is so bad. Like, I will have a heart attack. Like, I can't postpone it. So we kept it and we just said, we'll, you know, video it, post it on Facebook Live, come watch. And then we just had our parents and his groomsmen and my bridesmaids, and
I love it.
Yeah.
And it was awesome.
It was. Oh,
it was a beautiful wedding. Mm-hmm. It was a beautiful moment. And I think, you know, to be able to see this moment come together.
Yeah.
And know not only the obstacles that you personally walked through, but just mm-hmm. the everyday obstacles of life in 2020.
Right.
I just loved seeing you two mm-hmm. in that moment say yes to the adventure
right.
that God has for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I also love a small wedding.
Yeah,
so that was just so beautiful mm-hmm. to see the joy and to see that I saw no fear in you
yeah.
in that moment. I don't
Come
know if you were feeling
Becca.
It, but I got to stand there and have the best seat in the house
yeah.
and saw no fear in you.
Mm-hmm.
And then I mean, Brian is just like, yes and amen, let's go. But it was a beautiful day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was.
From a Facebook standpoint, we were just like, woo! So all your Smiths were in the house and we're like, heart, 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 heart. Yeah, you dress like
cat emoji.
Cat emoji. Yeah. No, I remember walking down that aisle and I saw nothing else but him. And I was like, oh, mm-hmm. this is it.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
That's what happens every time I
so
see
good.
Him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have that feeling of Brian.
I love the picture of you and your dad walking down the aisle and just knowing now, like, part of, you know, how, what a moment for your dad too.
Yeah.
In that moment
yeah.
For your pops to be walking you down and knowing that this is the man for you.
Yeah.
What a great moment for him too. Yeah.
It's a good moment.
It was. And then you all just had a big party by yourselves. Yeah. And I am a proponent of small weddings. I think it's amazing.
It was great.
Yeah. So fun.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I just sat and ate and watched and you guys had a party and it was so fun.
It was good.
Saw pictures of Brian like cooking it. He was like cooking.
Yeah,
He grilled.
Yeah. He just takes off the jacket and goes and starts grilling, puts on a Vader apron.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, I am cooking at my own wedding.
I love that.
Yeah, you are.
It was great.
I love it.
Yeah, and then you guys moved in next to me.
Yeah, yeah, now you're
neighbors.
Yeah. Moved in the neighborhood.
But Becca, right? So you had a great wedding, great honeymoon, and then what happened?
Oh, yeah.
And then I broke my elbow.
Like, legitimately bad.
I shattered it,
yeah.
is what they tell me. Yeah. So we were hiking in the Wallawas up Hurricane Creek. And it was on our honeymoon.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like seriously a week and a half after we got married.
Mm.
And we were going and we had to cross I guess it was the creek. I don't know. I think it's a river, but whatever.
Raging rapids.
Yeah. Yes. You could, canoe down that, whatever. I don't know. And there was just a log that you had to cross on this log and the water. I'm like afraid of drowning anyways. So I was like, and the log was like, you know, off the ground. So he had the height factor in. And I was like, I don't think I can do that. But he went across, no problem. Brian's just like, oh, here I go. And he's on the other side. And I get up on the log and I was like, there's no way. Like, I'm not doing this. So I get off. He's like, it's okay. Like, I'll find another way for you to cross, you know, because he's amazing. And then something inside me was just like, Becca, you can cross this river on this log. Mm. Like, you have to believe in yourself. And I was like, okay. So I get back up there and I get about not even halfway across and I just freeze. I'm like, I can't move. Like, I cannot cross this. And he was like, well, you can like turn around. Like, what do you need to do? And he like is taking pictures of me, like being brave crossing this log. And right after he takes this really awesome picture, I fall off the log into the water onto this huge pile of rocks. Luckily, elbow first, because if it would have been my head, I don't think I'd be alive. Yeah.
It's not great when you shatter your elbow. Right. Not great if you shattered your head.
Yeah, that'd be a little different. So I'm in the water. He runs in after me. And he's like, you have to get out of this water. Like, it was fast. It was fast water.
This is May and it's cold.
It was freezing.
Yeah.
And thankfully, I didn't get like swept away. Like, so he pulls me up and I could just feel my bones moving.
Oh.
And I was like, something is wrong. Like, this is not okay. So he gets me out and there's just pain just like shooting up and down my arm. And I'm like blacking out. I was like, I have to lay down or I'm going to pass out. So that was bad. And we had to hike back to the car, which was not great. And then we had to drive to the Enterprise Hospital, which the road was awful. And it was like so many potholes. And I was like,
pain, this is pain.
Yeah, it was the worst. And so they tried to get x-rays and I couldn't, like, my arm just wouldn't do what they wanted it to do.
Oh, man.
But they finally took, like, I don't know, they put me in the machine and, like, it was bad.
Did they at least get you some pain meds right away?
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah, and it was sad because I was wearing my favorite jean jacket and they had to cut it off of me.
So now you got a sleeveless jean jacket?
Yeah, that's perfect. That's even better, Becca.
It was so sad.
Sad. It's hard to find a good one.
It is.
It's a thing, you guys.
Yeah, but
I got a jean jacket.
My sister bought me another one, which was really nice.
That's nice.
Aw, good job, sister.
Yeah. Yeah, so they pumped me full of morphine.
So how much of the tears were from the jean jacket and how much were from your elbow at that point?
Zero.
Morphine helped that. Huh?
Yeah. Yes. And so, yeah, they x-rayed it, whatever. They're like, you have to have surgery. And I was like, okay. And it was bad because Brian couldn't come in with me because it was his COVID.
Yeah.
And so,
nobody gets to do anything anymore.
That was about the time he was probably texting us saying, please be praying. Because he was stuck away from you.
Yeah.
That's terrible.
It was sad. Yeah. So then the next week they did surgery and it took them a lot longer than they thought.
A lot longer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And still nobody could be with me. And I was like terrified, like never had surgery.
That's the worst.
And by myself.
No.
Yeah,
it was where'd you have surgery? LeGrand.
Yeah.
Was that nice? Because at least you're close to home? Or did it just feel like you're so isolated it didn't really matter where you were?
I don't think it would have mattered. So they ended up putting a lot of screws in because I broke it like in two spots, like my ulna in two spots. And then I shattered my radius, like part of it. So then, yeah. The bottom bone is held together with like a plate and screws. And then they had to replace the top. And
so this is how you're starting married life.
Yeah. Here it is. We'll just start with the hard stuff right away.
Yeah. How is your husband showing up in the moment for you?
He was amazing. He just took the best care of me. I don't know. I don't know how I would have gotten through it without him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When people talk about their first year of marriage and they say it's always really hard, that's a different thing. Like you're talking,
did you get metal put into your body?
Right.
Yeah. And even to this day, I mean, you're going to live with stuff for the rest of your life with this arm.
Oh, yeah.
Because what have they told you about your arm now?
Well, it's not great. So I can't straighten it all the way. They don't think I probably will ever be able to straighten it, but they're just trying to get it to a point where I can still do everyday normal things, which I can now, but it still isn't the best.
Is there pain or just stiffness? Like it just doesn't.
It hurts all the time.
Mm.
Yeah. So they tell me that I'll probably have pain forever.
Wow.
And I'll probably will get arthritis.
So it's not even like one of those cool ones, like rookie of the year where he breaks his arm, but then can throw a baseball really fast.
Right.
It's not even that. No. It's just like, oh, it's pain.
It's just, yeah, basically.
Do you have scarring?
Yeah.
Shoot.
Yeah.
So physical therapy all the time.
All the time.
I really want to see these pictures that Brian took.
I have one.
Yeah. I think he posted them.
I think so.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I look really cool.
It was an awesome action shot.
That's why I want to see him.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, Becca.
Yeah.
Have you had words with God about this arm situation?
I have.
Shaking your fist at him. You can't really extend your arm.
Yeah. Well, the worst thing was when they first did surgery, I had nerve damage. So I couldn't move my hand at all or my fingers. So it was just like, I don't know. It was bad. But I don't think God, you know, like pushed me off the log, but I do think he's used it just like parallel to other things that have been going on in my life. You know, with the whole my anxiety, I think he's just really been showing me that I let too many things into my mind that shouldn't be there. And so I've really started the process of what it's like to renew my mind, which is really hard. It's a really hard thing to do. But I think through breaking my elbow and having to go to physical therapy, he paralleled it with your mind is not going to be renewed right away. And your elbow is not going to be healed right away. And it hurts. And physical therapy hurts. And you don't see, you know, for a long time, I didn't see I was making any improvement. But then one day, I could move my hand again. And one day I could straighten it a little bit farther than I could, you know, the other day. And he's like, this is the same. This is the same process.
Wow.
You know, like your mind will not be renewed right away because you've built those pathways in your brain that your mind, you know, your thoughts, you think them all the time. But if you're diligent, if you keep doing it every single day over time, you're going to look back and be like, oh, I'm not at that same place I was anymore. Like I'm finally getting a little bit better.
Preach.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. So again,
I'm taking notes.
I know.
I'm going to preach that someday.
Echoing what Cameron's saying. You are one of the strongest people I know. I don't think you want to be real. In that camp.
You don't know it,
Maybe, but you are.
You're not buying it yet, but that's one of those renewing of your mind that we're going to help. We're going to speak it over you until you believe it to be true. Cause we've seen it.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are you up to right now?
Oh.
Because first year of marriage, busted elbow.
Yep.
But life goes on.
Life goes on.
You're still pursuing things God's put before you. What are you up to right now?
Yeah. Right now I went back to Eastern. I'm getting my master's degree in elementary education. So right now I'm student teaching out in Elgin.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. One of the few schools that is meeting in person.
Yeah.
So that's pretty incredible.
It's been really great.
What grade are you in?
In fourth.
Fourth grade. Mm. Love fourth grade.
Yeah. They're fun. Yeah. It's just been, it's been good. Really good experience. It's still the homework I'm not a fan of, but here we are.
Soon you'll just get to assign it.
Yes. Yep.
But then you'll always have to grade it.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Oh, that was always my thinking, like, soon I just get to give it out and I don't have to do it anymore. And then I was like, oh, but who's going to grade this?
Who has to grade this?
I need to get myself a student teacher. To Right.
I do that a lot. Yeah. I do the grading.
That's good.
Yeah.
So what is God speaking to you in this season of COVID and working out at Elgin and marriage?
Right. A lot. A lot of things. It's been a lot just the past couple of years. And I think, I don't know, one day I was just like, why did all this happen to me, God? Like, what is this?
That's a fair question.
Yeah. And he just spoke so clearly. And he was like, well, because one day I'm going to use you to break chains off other people who've gone through the same things.
Oh,
and I was
Becca.
Like, well, okay. Yeah. Still hard. Doesn't make it any easier here.
That's good.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm getting my teaching license, but I don't think that's where I'll end. I think there's more. So
when will you graduate?
Next year.
Next year. So you're in the master's program and then.
Yep.
Awesome.
It's exciting.
Yeah.
Well, Becca, thank you for being on the podcast.
Yes. Thank you for having me.
You did a great job.
Excellent. Yeah, super fun.
Thank you, listener, for listening in. And we just love you. And we hope that these words that she shared in her testimony have glorified God. And we just find that, you know, anytime we hear somebody share their story of what God has done in their lives, it is just fruitful. So we hope it's been encouraging to you. And we look forward to bringing another interview to you soon. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Faith Center Podcast Network. Be sure to like and subscribe for daily and weekly content. Once again, if you'd like more information about Faith Center, you can visit lg4square.com. That's LG, the number 4, square.com. And you can email the show at podcast@lg4square.com. Thanks for listening, and God bless.